Hi, I'm Michael. I have given my testimony at multiple Willamette Valley locations. I wrote my first testimony 22 years ago. I have updated and changed it. As I come to understand more of my past, things become clearer as I experience the light of Christ and His sanctification in me. As I confess my sin and receive healing, I get a fresh view, a truth I could not see before, a shift in my thinking. I learn more about my past, and so I rewrite my journey, my story. Tonight you will not hear my whole story, which includes a morality-fallen church pastor and government authorities, their dual roles as trusted community figures, and sources of harm left me feeling isolated, confused during my formative years as a child, way back when. I will not share details about my rock and roll inebriated life or my story of being a failed husband and father. If you want to know more about my journey, I shared it on April 16, 2025. So you can go to the Rolling Hills CR website, and that testimony is on the recorded files there. In 1975, I believed God created everything. I believed in Jesus Christ, God's Son. It was the clearest thought I ever had, truly was. I was at Canby Camp Grove, the site of our yearly camp meeting. On the last day of the camp, I went to the altar and said my first sincere prayer. You see, I'd been reading the hymnal about the song, How Great Thou Art. It just spoke the whole gospel. And so as I looked up, there was the, just as I am, they were having an altar call. So I went forward and said my first sincere prayer. I asked for Him to help me. I became a new creation in Christ that night. The pastor at Vancouver Church of God baptized me a week later, and off I went to do everything a Christian should do, I thought. I was 20 years old. For years, I would desire things concerning the Christian faith. I would watch other men and desire what they were doing in the faith. I listened to them, and I wanted to play music like them, worship like them, pray like they did, prophesy the way they did, and preach on the streets the way they did. I was coveting the things they had and the things they were doing, but I did not understand the main thing, my need for a relationship with Jesus Christ. I do not have a high school diploma, no college, no trade school training, or anything that could get me in a position of life responsibility. I was ignorant as a fence post and as stupid as a bag of thumbtacks. Truly, sincerely, I was very naive, and I didn't relate to the classroom at all. A stupid, failing, scrawny loser. I had no self-worth. That is the way I saw myself. But Jesus loved me. Yes, a messed up, broken, ignorant failure. He knew everything about me and loved me. It was not what I did or could do, but who He was, is, and will be in my life. How well does He know me? In Psalms 139, it says it all. I'll read it. You want me to read it? Okay. Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, Lord, You know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Or where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, You are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, even there Your hand will lead me, and Your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even darkness and even darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. You form my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would outnumber the sands. When I awake, I am still with you. It's amazing how well he knows me, how he knows us. Amen? I could write 1,000 pages about my life, and he knows everything and more. For the most of 28 years, I conducted myself in a manner consistent that of a prodigal son, wandering away from my heavenly Father, not understanding his love and grace, only found in Jesus. Would I find it? I would commit adultery, rage with anger, inebriate myself with drugs and alcohol, misunderstand marriage or relationships with anybody. I had no real trust in anything or anybody. I was trying to run away as far from my life as I could. I was running away from the wounds, lies, brokenness, failure, and disappointment. But I could not run away from the truth or the faithfulness of Jesus. Jesus is faithfulness. He is the truth. Amen? Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 22 years ago, with intervention from the Holy Spirit and faithful prayers from others, I would begin to understand Christ's care and concern for me. He has been faithful to me always. September 3rd, 2003, I was 48 years old and was sitting on my shop floor. It occurred to me that I stopped inebriating myself and practicing sin, for the most part. I was seeing and thinking that nothing was working in life. I felt bone dry. Nothing I was doing was working. I was at a dead end. And the Lord knew it. He knew my heart like no one else. He knew it all. And that very moment, sitting there on that shop floor, the Lord revealed his faithfulness to me, his love for me. His Spirit was immediately all around me. I was overwhelmed by the Lord's presence like never before. He filled the room. Tears of joy were draining down from my eyes. I repented and I started to move in the right direction. Praise God. That night, I went to see my parents. They were leading a ministry at the church they were attending, so that is where I went. The ministry they were leading was Celebrate Recovery. Before I went through the doors, I prayed, Lord, I need your help because there are Christians in there. Lord, you know, thank God there were. And I also knew I was to love them. I was not particularly comfortable with the churches, with churches at all, or the folks inside. It was my first assignment to go inside and stay 22 years ago. I went in and met my parents, but what I really found was a ministry that would help me with my relationship with Jesus and with his word and with others. I kept coming back for 22 years. I got involved with all I could in this ministry, from washing pots and pans, where we used to sing wonderfully back there, us guys, and eventually giving my testimony, leading worship, and leading in different ministry roles. Jesus has helped me. He has been my help in every time of trouble since. Absolutely, man. He is always faithful to remind me of who I am, no matter how low I get or will get. I'm a new creation, born again, a child of God. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Well, I do that one day at a time. How did I receive the mercies of God? Only by the sacrifice of his son Jesus, period. Romans 5, 8 through 11. But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And that is awesome. A bit of my church history here. For years, CR had a prominent place in church, with quarterly, bi-yearly participation in the main church service with testimonies and promoting its benefits. The ministry was well-funded, well-staffed with volunteers. All ministry volunteers received materials and training. The church leadership was incredibly supportive of CR. A few years before, the church transitioned from a single senior pastor model to an elder-led structure. The shift meant that a group of elders collectively oversaw both spiritual guidance and church business operations, aiming to assure a more balanced decision-making. The church's elder board recommended that the senior pastor transition to a different ministry, and he followed their suggestion. The transition caused a bit of friction in the church members, and the elders appointed a new senior pastor. The church settled and continued to move forward. About 2 years ago, I thought I had come to a place where I could move on to the next chapter in my life and to serve Christ as well. I thought that I would get involved in a church closer to where I live. It was an 80-mile commute to the church, so it also seemed practical as well. One night during a meeting break, I was sitting in the hallway, comfortable with the move I wanted to make. One of the pastors saw me and sat down. I shared with him the move I wanted to make. He suggested that before I move on, I should revisit what I had experienced in the church for the last 20 years. So I agreed what I had accepted as an assignment. We were surprised to realize later that the Holy Spirit had given me an assignment, and I would not only revisit the last 20 years, but the last 50 plus years. I visited the church I had gone to. I had visited the churches I had gone to and church leaders that I had felt had influenced my life, good or bad. I sought amends, wanted truth, asked honest questions and answers about my past. Not only wanted to deal with the pain in my past, but the truth of my past, not wounded perceptions. And there's a difference. I went to every significant place I had been involved in concerning my journey in Christ, at least the ones I could remember, or the ones that were still around, all the way back to 50 years. I looked at my wounds, my sin, men I thought overlooked me. I talked to leaders and resolved misunderstandings. I received love and forgiveness, and I was able to begin a process of forgiving others. The assignment brought me up to the last 12 years, 12 plus years. I looked at my involvement with the CR ministry at church. This was one of the greatest challenges that I would have. I began developing new baggage, new wounds. I received hard lessons in leadership. I was the recipient of serious manipulation and unaware of it. I was very committed to the work and gave about 30 hours a week to it. I was teaching, lessons in the main CR meeting, studying the curriculum, interviewing prospective co-leaders, and leading the training, some of all of it. And I was leading the worship at times also. At the cost of my personal business, income, and family responsibilities at home, which were taking second place, and usually always did. At this point, I was becoming spread out and soon challenged and blindsided. The pastor over the wholeness ministry was also over CR. He had been there a couple of years, and he cared about CR and devoted a good portion of his time to the ministry. The ministry is going great. We were having new people attending the meeting. We averaged 125 people each week at this time. This place was full. I had become one of the bigger groups attending the adults at our church. One of the biggest groups at our adult membership. About 2012, I became CR's ministry leader. The wholeness pastor was one who chose me as the ministry leader. Then the manipulation began to manifest itself. We were getting ready to plan for the yearly CR summit at Saddleback in Southern California. I was feeling so good and honored to be a part of this ministry. The pastor of CR approached me and encouraged me to take the lead in the summit trip. This would be my fourth summit. He told me he would room together with me, and he wanted to share something with me when we got there or just after. Well, the summit was typical but encouraging up to this point. That point was when he started to share with me what he had been waiting to share. He told me that he had committed adultery and wanted to come clean about it. Whoa. I told him he needed to go to the church leaders and tell them about it. I told him I would support him through the process and getting all he needed to get for himself, for his wife, and for his family. I asked him a couple of days after we got back if he had confessed to the leaders of the church, and he said he did. He said that they were looking at the options and how to deal with it. Well, this went on for weeks. I thought this was unusual for a pastor to get such a space of time for a decision concerning his sin and to stay on salary. He was manipulating me. He was good at it. He was ahead of every question I had, and he had reasons why the leaders were taking their time. He said they were considering keeping him on paid staff. Really, I proclaimed, I thought this was something up, man. This couldn't be. But I did not let discernment have its way in me. Only a few weeks after the situation began, he informed me that I was invited to join him and the pastors to a conference in Washington. He made sure he drove everyone up in his large SUV, and I watched the manipulation unfold on the drive up. He made sure I sat in the front passenger seat, and the pastors sat in back. And I don't think they minded, but he made sure it happened. He voiced it to me and made fun of it. It was a weird way for a man to act who had just confessed to me and the nature of his sin he had been involved in. It seemed insignificant, though, but I understood later it was a power for him, a weird kind of a power. Deviating behavior is what I came to understand he was displaying. It was not long after that, and he was gone. He came to a meeting where they spoke kind words to him and then dismissed him from leadership, and he was gone. They gave no details as to how he resolved the matter. Nobody said much to me about what took place. I was out of the loop. I understood later that he never really confessed at all. I felt betrayed, confused, and realized he had never truly confessed. The truth only came out when the pastor exposed the actions and dismissed him. The whole thing he had said to me was a lie. I felt like a baby carelessly thrown out of the bathwater, but what self-respecting man wanted to be a baby thrown out with that way? And what kind of Christian thinks that way? Well, I did. A man who did not understand the truth that had occurred and the truth that I would understand more about. I would find truth about this 12 years later. I was alone with how he had used me. No one knew how he had been manipulating me. At the time, he made me look funny when it all became known. He set me up and I fell for it completely. I had only paid attention to the warning sign. If I only paid attention. But the way this fallen leader treated me was weighing very heavily on me. At the same time, I faced my first conflict within the leadership team. Together, these challenges left me feeling overwhelmed. Soon, I was thrown under the bus by a leader. They had a false statement about me, and in a couple of weeks, I was dismissed as CR ministry leader. I was told I was a solid person, but it was all about gifting. At the time, it was probably true. I was asked to step back from leadership and to take some time out. I was not to lead CR or any group or worship. What followed was the most depressing 2 years of my walk in Christ. I understand why the church leadership took control of the ministry. They did not want the ministry to fall apart. They did not need to have another big rift in the church. Now, I can only imagine what it was like for the leaders of the church to hold things together after so many rifts in the pastorate over the last several years. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Just 3 weeks ago and 12 years later, I am sitting with the executive pastor who had to deal with all those ministry changes. He was trying to keep the church together. He had to deal with all the pastoral changes throughout that time. He talked about what had happened. He had no idea about the manipulation I had been dealing with back then. I had no real idea what he had to deal with. The health and the safety of the church, in my book, not a realistic or healthy place for a man to be, but he took it on. We sat and talked for 4 hours. We sat there and talked like brothers, friends, with no titles. It was very healing for me to have that happen. I understand that my history could be misunderstood due to my personal pain, self-centeredness, or habit of viewing myself as a victim. I work through every day, but it gets better. I work through this every day. We all learn from our individual experiences, bad or good, our autonomy, and the unique personalities we have. We are given different gifts from our Creator. No one person is the same. So the hand can stretch the head. You know, you just need all the body parts, man. Today, I understand more about my identity in Christ, his promises to me, and who I am in him. Jesus supplies my recovery, sanctification. It includes my healing, maturation, education, accountability, fellowship, real identity, biblical transformation, revealed by the Holy Spirit, all by faith, all in Christ alone. Not in anything else, nobody else. Any special behavior that I may display, nothing. Just faith alone in Jesus, God's only Son. It has helped me to understand that I do not have to look at excellence, perfection, the big picture to measure up. I have come to understand that my Savior picked me out of the forest of affliction. And he faithfully has, will, and is completing the work he began in me. I have to learn it is not about the mega, it's the simplicity of one heart. It is not about the macro, it's the micro care of one simple repentant person. It is not the forest that matters, but the care of one tree. It is not about each individual person. It is about each individual person. Our great shepherd left the 99 and went out after the one lost. This is our splendid example and our commission. During that four-hour conversation with my brother, he tried to explain to me that it is better to become an effective servant than to appear to want to be an excellent leader. Amen, right? Today I'm 70 years old, and this birth date was the most depressing one I have experienced. And that's no lie, but God is good. People started approaching me with different thoughts of retirement, government health benefits, wondering if I had any limitations, mixed with the same usual lies from the evil one. that I was worthless and that I was too old, and I started to believe it. These lies and misunderstandings were becoming effective to destroy God's love and work in me. But God is faithful. Amen. In 1975, I was not aware of my relationship with Christ like I should have been, but today I am. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this one thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It all happens only in and through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I understand that the gospel of Christ is the power of God's salvation. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. God bless Israel. Amen. Amen. Concerning those verses, ask yourself, if I am ashamed of the gospel, ask yourself these questions. Am I ashamed of the gospel? Is there a conflict with it? Do I struggle with this, with the shame in my life? Do I struggle with my identity? Do I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Am I a new creation in Christ or not? Why am I going through the conflicts I'm experiencing? Why do I feel victimization? And why do I still at times encounter it as a believer in Christ? Is it about my performance as a Christian? If you're struggling with one of these things in your life, I suggest that you check in with your leaders for prayer and accountability. It's what we're here for. It's what they're here for. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. We are all new creation projects. In faith alone, in Christ alone. Sanctification in Christ is truly awesome. One moment at a time, one day at a time. So I'm Michael, and I'm a new creation project, and I give all the glory to him, all power, all wonder. He gets the praise. Amen. Amen. Thanks for letting me share.